Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Welcome to The Offseason, a show covering the Miami Dolphins, the NFL, pop culture, drinking culture, and of course, professional wrestling. Now, here are your hosts, Alf Artiaga and myself, Eric Perry.
Welcome everybody to the latest edition of The Offseason with myself, Merrick Brave, and with Alf Artiaga of 3 Yards for Carry. Latest edition, that's kind of a double meaning, Alf. This is 10 p.m. Eastern on a Friday night,
yeah,
which means it's time to party, right?
Yeah. I'm watching Edmonton destroy Dallas right now, and I don't know if that's good or bad news for the Panthers, but who cares? Panthers should be the best hockey team in the world.
And they're about to reach, I don't want to jinx it here, so let me knock on some wood before we get too far into it, but they're about to reach the Stanley Cup Finals again, right? Up 3-2 on the New York Rangers.
Yes, and they play Game 6 on Saturday night, so hopefully it's a handshake line as soon as that game is over.
And then that would be back-to-back years in the Stanley Cup Finals, am I right?
Yep, back-to-back years.
Wow. Yeah, but this year cool. They're going to get it done. This year they're going to hoist the trophy, and they're going to... What do? They drink champagne out of that thing? What do they do with it?
Well, every player gets to take it home with them. They take turns.
That's right.
Yeah, they take turns holding the trophy, and they do God knows what with it. Like, it's been damaged many, many times over.
Now, yeah. See, I have as we've talked about in previous episodes, I run an independent wrestling promotion, which means I have champions in my promotions. We have a heavyweight champion. We have the Iowa State champion as our promotion is located here in Iowa. We have tag team champions. I don't let them take the belts home with them, Alf. I don't.
Huh.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because I don't want them to wear them while they're having sex with their significant others.
Yeah.
That's a real reason. I don't want them to do it. Because they will. They will. They're disgusting human beings.
Well, jocks. You know what I mean? It's it's what it is. You know, it's being juvenile comes with the territory. I know a little bit about being a jock, so.
Sure. And I mean, I've been in the wrestling business for 21 years. I've held titles from all around the country myself, and there may be a reason why I know that these wrestlers would sleep with their significant others with these belts on, but I digress.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, Alf, tell them where they can find us, right? Because we're not just on your podcast feed, right? Like I said, it's 10 o'clock Eastern time on a Friday night. We're drinking. We're recording. We're going to talk Miami Dolphins football. We're going to talk – I mean, we've already talked a little bit of hockey. We'll talk pro wrestling, all that kind of stuff. But you, listener, you could be listening to us live right now on the 3YPC Discord. How do they subscribe to that Discord channel, Alf?
You go to discord.gg/onlyfins and you become a member there for $3 a month. We have over 2,000 members. We have a vetted room. We have video. We have a chat. You could chat with like-minded Dolphin fans. And if you've been on Twitter the last few days after Waddle got his extension, you would know that Twitter's essentially a useless place. So, yeah, come join us on the Discord.
Twitter has been a useless place for quite a long time, but I myself, I've actually been out of town for the last 4 days. I'm not even joking. I literally stepped inside my home 5 minutes before we started this recording. That's how dedicated I am to this show, Alf, and that's how dedicated I am to our listeners tuning in right now. But I was a little out of the loop. Obviously, I saw Waddle got the extension. I'm pretty happy about it. I like Jaylen Waddle. I think he's a really good player. I think, weird to say, but he's still an ascending player, despite the fact that he has three straight 1,000-yard seasons to open a career, first Miami Dolphins player to ever do that. So I'm happy about the extension, but you're telling me there's people on Twitter that think this is a bad move for Miami?
Because people like to complain for whatever reason. Oh, yeah. On Twitter, I think the fun for a lot of these people is to just complain about something. Like they got to find something to complain about. I can't wait to that Tua Tagovailoa extension drops. I'm going to take
the that's going to be the big one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the light in the meltdown that some of these people on Twitter are going to have.
Alf, before we get into this Waddle extension talk, I want to touch on your history as like the number one troll in Dolphins Twitter. You are putting these haters in their place, like of smacking down a Twitter idiot, like you do quite frequently.
Yeah, basically all I'm doing is just collecting them all in one place, so then I could just block them. And I had no idea that there were so many of them. A lot of them are just fakes. You could tell the fakes, you know? The fakes have, like, usually, like, 20 or 30 followers. And, you know, you could tell that they just created that account just to spread misery and just be an asshole on Twitter because they get off on it. But there are others. Trust me when I tell you. There are others that actually have hundreds of followers, okay? Hundreds of followers. A couple of them have a couple thousand followers. And they actually believe all the bullshit that they spew on Twitter. So, yeah, it's just, it's insane. Twitter's just, it's the one-stop shop for horrible takes. And lately I've been checking the wrestling side also, and Jesus
Christ. Oh, God, it's just as bad, Alf. It's just as bad. Maybe worse.
It's worse. It's worse because it gets tribal, and I don't know why it gets... Like, it's supposed to be entertainment. Like, why am I an asshole because I don't like AEW? I like some of the wrestlers on AEW. I just don't like, you know, the storylines in the show lately. I don't watch the show. I know it makes me a bad person because I don't watch the show, you know? But I stopped doing it. I talk football on Twitter. I don't even dare venture into wrestling on Twitter because it gets hostile.
Oh, I stopped as well, Alf. As we know, I've made my living in the professional wrestling business. I'm blessed to do that here in Davenport, Iowa, at the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy, alongside Seth Rollins, multi-time WWE champion. So I've lived a blessed life over here, a charmed life, if you will. But I get paid. I literally get paid real life money, real life dollars that I then use to pay my mortgage and my truck payment and buy my kids food for dinner and different things like that. I get paid real life money to give my opinion and spread my knowledge of the professional wrestling business that I've gained for over two decades in this business. But then I get people on Twitter who watch wrestling, so they think that gives them the right to tell me why my opinions are wrong and why I'm an idiot. And I literally just want to like send them a screenshot of my bank account and be like, that's crazy because that amount of money in my bank account says I'm not an idiot and actually you are. So I get where you're coming from with these Twitter fools, but I had to stop. I used to go back and forth with these guys on Twitter all the time, and it was just pissing me off, really. But you seem to take delight in smacking the haters down, at least in Dolphins land.
Yeah, and, you know, I do this for a living. Like, this is my job, okay? Other people are roofers, some are accountants, some are lawyers, some are doctors. I talk about football. That's how I pay my bills, okay? That's how I send my check for the mortgage every single month, all right? So when there's an addendum to the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL, with the NFLPA, I actually read those things, okay? So when I argue with you today that, and I was arguing with somebody today, that a franchise tag for Tua Tagovailoa in 2025 costs $42.5 million. Mm-hmm. And it's a block of money, $42.5 million, that you cannot move. And therefore, that signals Tua that he now has a lot of leverage over you. And yep. he can now ask you for $60 million. Because the alternative is, make my day. Hold up $42.5 million guaranteed. And see if you could field a team in 2025.
And there's people out there that would tell you on Twitter, well, then just let him walk. We'll start Mike White. It's not that much of a downgrade. Who are these people, Alf?
Yeah, it's a, you know, if you try to put it to them in like simpler terms, they just won't get it. You know, they just don't understand. And I've tried to explain it to them, and you know, that they want to argue. They want to argue, and not only do they want to argue, they want to be mad.
And how do these people think we would pay the franchise tag for Tua, $42 million, when you've got Jalen Waddle under this large contract now, you have Tyreek Hill under a large contract, Bradley Chubb, Jalen Ramsey, players like that? How do they think Tua's going to take up $42 million of cap space, and that the Dolphins are going to be able to keep all of the other star players that these guys on Twitter want around?
Oh, it's very simple. Like, I've had some people say, oh, you can. You know, you could move around pieces to make the cap space to fit his cap charge. And I'm like, yeah, you can. You could start by cutting Tyreek Hill, Bradley Chubb, mm-hmm. letting mm-hmm. Raheem Mostert go, and possibly yep. not signing Javon Holland. Do you want to do that? You know what
no,
I mean?
No, I personally don't want to do that.
Well, you know, that's what these people don't understand. They don't seem to get it, you know? And the Jalen Waddle stuff, my God, the last 2 days. This should be a celebratory thing, you know? This should be a good thing. They kept
yeah,
one of their
one
own.
He's one of Miami's own. He was drafted 2020. Excuse me, 20... Where am I at? My brain's all over the place. 2021.
Yes.
Before this past year, he and Jalen Phillips were the last first-round draft picks that the Dolphins made before Chop Robinson this year. But yeah, you're right. They're extending one of their own. And when you look at the... And I know your pal there, Chris, CK Parrott, very, very intelligent man, especially when it comes to the money. And I will not even pretend to be nearly on his level there. He said he doesn't really like it when people add the extension to the existing years that are already on there. But, you know, we're going to do it anyways just because it makes it sound better for the Dolphins. But you get them yeah. at essentially, what, 20.5, 21 million over the next 5 years, which he's under contract with the Dolphins for the next five seasons. You get prime Jalen Waddle, one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League, a receiver that you drafted with the sixth overall pick just a few short years ago. And in 2 years, his contract is going to look average at best compared to some of these other deals that are going to get done with guys like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb and guys like that. And in 2 years, people will be looking back and they'll be praising Chris Greer, saying, wow, what a phenomenal deal. Smart of him to get this done ahead of those other large contracts.
Yeah, and you know, it can't be said enough. You're buying his entire prime, okay?
Yeah.
His contract will be up when he's 30 years old, you know, and if he's elite by then, which he probably will be, then, you know, you rework another deal when he's 30. But you're buying his entire
prime. And you have the
prime.
Leverage to do other things, too, if you want, you know. Like, and again, we're 5 years into the future, but, you know, if you've used up his prime years, you could turn around and flip him for some draft picks that you can use to restock the cupboard and bring somebody else in, if you so choose.
Yeah, so it's good business all around. And this is the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to draft guys high in the first round, and they become stars for you. And then you pay them. And then they stay here for a career, you know. And, you know, it's not like, you know, he's been a disappointment. He's been an absolute smash hit since he got here. The guy's headed
good
for the ring.
Good locker room guy.
Great locker yeah, room guy.
Great player. Good locker room guy. Got his head screwed on straight and tough as nails. Plays through injuries. The only times you see him sit out is when the team holds him out. He doesn't want to be on the sidelines.
Yeah, and he wanted to be out there for the Bills game at the end of the season. I would have activated him. I would have played him. You know, Dolphins, I thought, played that game a little bit too arrogantly. I would have been.
Side note, do you
I would have been more all hands on deck for that game.
I would have as well. I think we kind of have a similar mindset as former high school and college ball players ourselves. I didn't play in college. You played a little in college. Do you think this regime, not to get too sidetracked here, but do you think this regime is a little too soft when it comes to some of these injuries? They hold guys out for precautionary reasons a little bit more than maybe they should?
They sure were last year, and it was odd because they had a defensive staff until they changed it at the end of the season. It was almost as if they were listening to me, okay? But they were extremely cautious all year, but they had a defensive staff that was running our defensive tackles right into the ground. And for that matter, our edge players right into the ground all year, playing them ridiculous snap counts when guys like Cameron Good should have been playing snaps in the fourth quarter against the Jets, not Jalen Phillips going almost wire to wire. So, absolutely. They're a bit odd in that regard. Now, they do evolve, and that's one thing I do like about Mike McDaniel. He evolves. He's not, you know, he's not a guy who is stubborn. You know, while other coaches are, he seems to want to try things out. And this past year, he tried that load management system out. It seems like he sat down with Eric Spoelstra and remember that they're kind of tight. They got together last offseason. I guess he took all the bad things from Eric Spoelstra, because Eric Spoelstra is the same way. Like, he'll sit guys out, and that's why the Heat regularly have so many players miss so many games. But I guess he decided, you know what, I'm gonna do that. You know, it almost worked out. They won 11 games, and they did blow that Tennessee game, so they should have won 12, and 12 would have given them everything that they would have set out to do when the season started.
I just, you know, we got a comment in here. VS Sniper says that McDaniel is protecting the players from themselves. And we get it. You know, we're not dumb. We understand that's the idea behind it. Thank you for your comment, VS Sniper. But sometimes you got to understand, football is a warrior sport, and you have to have a warrior's mentality. And sometimes you got to let warriors be warriors and go out there and play some football, especially when there's things on the line like a division title, which allows you to play a home game in the playoffs instead of traveling to Kansas City and playing the coldest game in franchise history, which, as we saw, didn't work out for the Dolphins. They lost that one and only put up 7 points. So I don't know, man. Sometimes I feel them holding these guys out for minor things or things that could be played through. And I'm like, oh man, I wish there was just a little more toughness. And I almost wonder if sometimes it sends the wrong message to the team or the wrong message to the players. And again, maybe that's just an old school mentality. Maybe today's young players appreciate being held out if they're not 100%. I don't know. When I played football in high school, I didn't want to come out of a game for a single snap. I wanted to play every snap. I remember getting bent over backwards in a pile once and feeling like I got snapped in two. And my coach looked at me. He could tell I was in pain. He said, you want to come out? I played linebacker. He said, you want to come out? And I looked at him. I said, no, I'm good. And I kept playing. And I was very clearly not 100% at that point. So he ended up taking me out for a couple snaps. And I was rip-roaring mad, like screaming at him, get me back in this game, coach. I want to play.
Yeah, I dislocated my shoulder and stayed in the game for the rest of the game. And then tried to play the following week. And the only reason I was asked to sit for 2 weeks was because I was ineffective, because they could tell that I was playing with a separated shoulder. I couldn't hit anybody.
Target on you.
Yeah, I couldn't hit anybody. Yeah. You know, and they were noticing it in practice, because I was playing at that time. I was playing monster, which is like strong safety. It's like an extra box safety, and they could tell I was missing a lot of arm tackles. I had no strength, and they asked me, there's something more going on than what you were letting on. Because I said, I banged it up, you know. But I was in horrific pain. Sure enough, they sent me to the clinic. When they came back, oh, he's shoulder separated. And they're like, we're not going to let you play. You're not playing. You're out.
But back to Waddle, he definitely is that type of guy that wants to play through injuries. He has played through injuries. He seems like the right guy on the field, off the field. You never have a bad thing to say about him. Wish you could say the same for his running mate, Tyreek Hill, who seems to find himself with a new scandal every couple months. So I think, you know, looking at the calendar, we might be due for one here soon. Fingers crossed that that doesn't happen. But, I mean, yeah, who can take away from this signing? It's a great signing through and through.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a celebratory day when that happened, and you know, but some people managed to poo poo on it. Somebody in the comment says that, so I definitely played with a concussion. Somebody says in the comment in high school, and yeah, that was commonplace.
Yeah, there. I don't think anyone cared about concussions back then. It was the classic. How many fingers am I holding up? Okay, get back in the game.
Yeah, it was the. Oh, you seeing stars? Yeah, okay. And I'm like, yeah, I'm still seeing them.
And then everybody giggles and laughs. And yeah, I mean, in the wrestling business, same deal. I think I've had probably 60 concussions in my 20-year career, which is. It sounds like a lot, but. I mean,
yeah, when I think back, what I did in high school, man, some of those coaches should have been in prison by now. Yeah, because I remember clearly leaving the field like, nah, you know, I got dinged, and I'm like, oh, so you know, so you got your bell rung? That's what everybody's saying. I'm like, yeah, I got dinged. So I go and I sit down, and I'm like, you know, let me take a couple of snaps, you know, off. And I'm seeing the stars. I would get up, throw up in the trash can, and then go to the sideline. All right, I'm ready. I can get back
I'm
in.
I'm good. Times have
definitely
changed.
Yeah, and did you throw up? And, you know, the trainer would always, you know, with that concerned look on his face, you know. Not that he gave a crap, but he would say, did you just throw up? And I'm like, yeah, I ate something before the game. Yeah.
Times have definitely changed, that's for sure. My kids are like, oh, what was football like when you were a kid, Dad? And then I just put on
Barbaric.
The old ESPN highlights, jacked up. I'm like, they used to have a show that highlighted all of the most violent hits of the day. And now they try to avoid that like the plague.
Yeah, nah. It was somewhat like hockey, like you get your ass kicked. You'd be getting your ass kicked, and you just plot for the entire fourth quarter who you were going to cheap shot.
Yes. I love you that know? You said that. That's yeah, 100% so, the truth.
Yeah, it's the truth. You know how many times we were playing Carroll City, and we'd be down two touchdowns, and it's obvious our offense can't move it from here to there. And it's like, okay, like we know how this is ending. All right, I'm picking somebody over there.
I'm gonna fuck them up.
Yeah, I'm picking somebody, okay? Somebody is not going to step out of bounds on time, or he might step out of bounds right on time, and that way I could just blast them as they're slowing down, you know?
Oh, man. I miss it.
Yeah, I miss it. Yeah.
Waddle gets extended. I want to ask you, Alf, is it strange that the Dolphins haven't done anything with Tyreek Hill's contract yet this offseason?
Didn't it
feel like early on that maybe he was a candidate for an extension, a rework deal, something like that? But they just haven't touched it at all.
Yeah, it is odd. That 2025 season, you know, it's – remember, there's no guaranteed money on there. You gotta
and they just drafted two wide receivers.
You got to think that Tyreek Hill has ran it up the flagpole. He's being a good soldier about it. He's not making a stink. You know what I mean?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But you got to feel as if he has run it up the flagpole. Like, hey, you doing anything with that 2025 number? You know?
And didn't Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, and I know we all have our own opinions of Mike Florio here, but didn't he even have a report over the last couple days, or maybe not even a report, but, you know, he was kind of musing about how Tyreek Hill was talking about wanting to end his career in Miami with a rework deal or an extension or something like that?
Yeah, he mentioned something about that, and I tend to trust him on that. I don't think he was, you know, and I think he was making it as a report. He says he kind of knows, you know. Now, who would talk to him? It's obvious who's talking to him. It's Drew Rosenhaus, right? Because the Dolphins don't leak. So it's Drew Rosenhaus. And why would the Dolphins leak something like that? That only comes back to hurt them, you know? So That's obviously Drew Rosenhaus putting it up through the media like, hey, you know, we'd like to see something happen with 2025 here. Maybe add on a year, you know? It's all about the money, you know? The problem is that, you know, Justin Jefferson is about to get paid. He's about to sign his contract this coming week. And that's going to be a ridiculous number. And if Tyreek Hill wants those numbers, then I don't know how they're going to be able to do it.
You know, over under on new average per year for Justin Jefferson's deal, $35 million over under.
Right on the number. I think you got it right on
you
the number.
You think that's it?
Yeah, $35 million, I think, is the number.
Yeah, it's got to be.
And, you know, that's going to put him about $4 million over A.J. Brown. And that's right. You know, he deserves it. He's the best wide receiver in football.
And he's young, too.
The problem is that's going to put him about $10 million above Tyreek Hill's average for this year.
That's the problem for us, yes.
You know? So, yeah, we shall see. That I was a bit shocked, but now I'm beginning to, like, I'm seeing clearly now, you know? Unlike in high school when I had all those concussions.
I can actually see
clearly now what's happening.
Yeah, it seems a little odd to me. You know, eventually, you know, with all these new extensions and big money contracts, they're going to have to shed some of these larger salaries. So they drafted two wide receivers, and now you're looking at an older Tyreek Hill, and you're going, can we afford to pay him $30 million a year? And they drafted two edge guys in Chop Robinson and Mo Kamara. And Bradley Chubb's got a big number on him, and Jalen Phillips still needs an extension there. So, you know, if you read between the lines a little bit, you could see some of these aging guys, some of these big money guys, you know, maybe on the way out. You know, hopefully the Dolphins could get some trade compensation if they do decide to go in that direction. But, you know, if you read between the lines a little bit, you get a little nervous about a couple of these guys.
Yeah, well, you know, it's about robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? And you essentially have to start assigning guys to each guy, right? Teron Armstead is responsible for Waddle's contract, right? Who's going to be responsible for Tua's? Is it going to be Bradley Chubb? You know? So you have to go right down the line to see who is, you know, who is responsible for what going forward. Which guys are going to be the ones that are expendable? So, you know, I on the podcast this week on Q&A Live, I talked about it. I really do believe that Javon Holland is the one that they're going to wait and see. And Jalen Phillips is the one that's the danger to be the Christian Wilkins candidate. Because if he blows up, you know, you're talking massive numbers, okay?
An edge rusher, for sure.
You know, so, but the thing is, you know, he'd be a fool. Like, he's going to bet on himself. Like, I'm pretty certain that Chris Greer would like to bet on Jalen Phillips and tell him, how about you sign a contract at 12 APY? And Jalen Phillips is going to say, no.
Yeah.
I'm working on 30 APY.
Yeah.
You know? I'm betting on myself this season. So,
and I mean, if Jalen Phillips goes out there and gets 15, 16, 17 sacks, maybe not this year, coming off the Achilles.
But maybe he has 10 in 8 games this year, you know?
Sure, yeah. You know, he's on pace for a large number there. You know, they'd still have a year of control after that. And it even would, and then a fifth year option after that, would they not?
Jalen Phillips, they already extended the fifth year.
They did the fifth year, yeah.
So they have him under contract for 2 years. You know, so
and if you make him play on that fifth year, then you're definitely looking at another Christian Wilkins situation if he does blow up with those sack numbers.
Right. Yeah, and that one, yeah, I do see the potential for that happening. I really do.
So it's very interesting how they'll eventually play that one, and we have a couple years until we really get deep into that. But you're right. Are they going to pay Phillips based on the potential that he's shown? And like you said, if he gets 10 sacks in 8 games, is that enough to warrant a big money deal, you know, north of $22, $23, $24, $25 million a season, which I'm sure he would want to get and his representatives would want to get, especially with his injury history, you know, his college production or his college injuries with his own concussion stuff and his short-lived retirement there before he transferred to Miami. You know, it'd be interesting. That's going to be a unique one, but that's another guy that, you know, plays a premium position and was drafted by this team in the first round, and you'd love to see him stick with the team as long as he's producing. So we'll have to keep a close watch on this Achilles recovery.
Yeah, that's one to watch. He was out there, did not participate in OTAs. Today was the 31st. Today was the last OTA. So next stop is mandatory minicamp, which is first week of June, I think. I believe it's next week. I don't have the exact dates. I could look those up for you. But so everything's mandatory from here on out, and then they have a very long hiatus. I do not expect Phillips or Chubb to participate in any of those mini camps. So we shall see them again in late July for training camp. And hopefully they're working by then, you know.
Definitely. So we talked a little football, talked a little hockey. Let's talk some boxing, Alf. I saw today Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, the fight got postponed.
Yeah, what was that about? Was it due to some medical issue that Mike Tyson had?
Yeah, they said Tyson had an ulcer flare-up on a flight that he was taking recently. He had to be attended to by medical personnel during the last like half hour of a flight because he had an ulcer flare up, and now they're saying that he's not going to be able to train the way he wants to train in preparation for the fight that was supposed to happen. Was that July, I believe it was?
Yeah, something like that.
Sometime in July, late July, and now that's not going to happen. They did say the fight will still take place, but not until later on this year. So that's a little bit of a bummer.
You know, I don't think I don't think this fight should be sanctioned, by the way. I think you're asking for trouble.
Wasn't it unsanctioned at first, and then like people complained, and then they officially sanctioned it and said no,
yep,
no headgear and all that stuff?
Yeah, then they sanctioned it. So it's a legit fight. Like, they're going to fight. If, you know, it's not, there are no special rules for this. It's not an exhibition. It's not like the Roy Jones Mike Tyson fight, you know. And
right,
you know, I don't.
Well,
you know,
I mean, I selfishly want to see it just because I'm a sucker for anything that makes me feel young again. And I remember Mike Tyson being king shit in the '90s. So I want to watch it go down.
Yeah, so do I. I'm completely with you. You know, it's...
on that topic, Alf. I've been wanting to play this game with you, and I haven't even messaged you about this privately, so I'm going to spring it on air right now. I want to play which Dolphins media personality could Alf beat up. I'm going to name a few guys, and I want you to tell me if you could take them in a fight. Are you ready?
I could take them all. Just name them
okay,
all.
Okay, well, I'll name a few, and you just tell me. Again, this is not meant to be insulting to anyone. I'm just curious for me, and maybe our listeners are curious too. Barry Jackson. Could you beat up Barry Jackson, Alf?
Oh, my God. Barry Jackson, I forgot what was the issue. He said something, and I took issue with it. I introduced myself to him, and I think the way I introduced myself to him was a little bit aggressive. And, oh. You know, I still feel bad about that to this day. But great guy, by the way. He's the best. Nobody works harder than Barry Jackson. Nobody.
I love Barry. Okay, here's another one. Armando Salguero. Could you beat up Armando?
He has a heart problem, so I'd rather not, you know?
I'm not saying you have to beat him up, but you're saying you could beat him up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big guy, though.
Adam Beasley. Could you take Adam Beasley?
I would hope I could, okay? yeah. I think about Adam Beasley. He always wears flip-flops.
You got him.
Yeah, it's like his... It's his trademark.
Interesting. Travis Wingfield. Could you take Travis Wingfield in a fight?
This is one of those things where I'm just going to say yes to everything. You know what I mean?
Okay, then my last two, Chris and Simon. Could you beat up Chris and Simon?
Oh, absolutely.
100% no doubt.
Yeah, you know. If you could bring up, you know, just bring up, you know, Mike Tyson, Tyson Fury, I'm probably going to say yes, and yes as well.
Which of your fellow podcast hosts on 3 Yards for Carry would give you the tougher fight, Simon or Chris?
Chris, I think.
Any insight on that? Just he's younger, more skillful. What is it? Not British.
I think Simon will just talk me to death. And
he'll try to talk you out of the fight.
Yeah, I end up hitting myself
so just to keep him quiet.
Yeah, that won't work.
Okay, well, next time I'll come with some different options, but this has been round one of can Alf beat up this Dolphins media personality.
Yeah, although, you know, if they listen to this stuff, that might get me banned from camp.
Well, let's be clear. Alf is not trying to beat anyone up. Alf does not want to cause violence towards any media member. This was all hypothetical for fun or entertainment. That's what we do here on the off season.
Yeah. So anything happening in the wrestling world?
Well, we had the King Queen of the Ring over in Saudi. Yep. Good show. Real good show. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I watched it.
Did you watch it, Alf?
Yeah, you know, the problem is, you know, it's on at such an odd hour that, you know, I got all the spoilers, so I knew everything that happened. So I ended up watching it, actually knowing. And I did one of those things where I was watching somebody's podcast. Whose podcast? Oh, Conrad's and Eric Bischoff's podcast. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
And they were doing a recap of the show. So naturally it came on and they... Right off the top, they spewed all the results. So I was like, ah, fuck. So now I know what happened. So they were reviewing all the matches, and I tend to agree with them, man. That was a good show. Like, all the matches that they were popping for, you know, I agree with them. Those were good.
I really liked it as well. We talked about Jake Paul, but Logan Paul looked amazing in his match with Cody. Looked like he belonged.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's something. He's something.
Yeah. He's picking it up, that's for sure. I think he's 29 years old, so he's got a good number of years left in his prime. If he wants to stick with it, he could really carve out a really nice role for him within WWE, which he kind of already has, but he could create himself a nice little legacy in the professional wrestling business, that's for sure.
Yeah, and good news, Valkyrie, is it Valkyrie or Valkyrie? Because she pronounces her name very, very oddly. It's Valkyrie, right?
Yeah. I don't know. We're American. I don't know how you would.
Well, she showed up. She showed up on Raw the next day, so she is evidently alive after she took that that Jax bomb. I don't know if you saw that.
Bonsai drop.
I saw it and I cringed. I thought, oh my god, she killed her. She's dead.
Broke her ribs.
Yeah. She has a collapsed lung. She has a punctured lung.
Definitely the old Yokozuna move.
Yes.
God, yeah. I love that.
You know what I never understood? There's been people have done podcasts and they talk about it and they say, no, that was like lighter than a feather. I'm like, how the hell is Yokozuna falling on your chest, all 600 pounds, and it's lighter than a feather? You felt nothing. Like,
yeah,
how is that
I don't
possible?
Know either, man. And I've been in the business. I've been in the ring. I might have taken that move from somebody before. I think, you know, the idea is you put a lot of weight on your heels. But, I mean, I don't care how much weight. Yokozuna could have put 300 pounds of weight on his heels, and you still have, like, 350 pounds coming down directly on your chest.
Yeah, like, sometimes I look at a move, and I'm like, all right, would I take this move? Like, if I could train on it, right? And I think about it, I'm like, would I take a stunner? And I'm like, well, I would need to train because that looks like a broken neck to myself, you know, if I don't do it, take it right. So I need, would I take a pedigree? And I'd be like, I don't know about that one, you know. I kind of know the mechanics of how to take it. So sure. Maybe with a lot of training. The bonsai drop? Not in a million years I would take that.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do to protect yourself. You tighten your abs up and you pray to Jesus that you don't get murdered.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw our favorite television program, but Tony Khan has a bodyguard right now.
Oh, does he? No, I did not get to see AEW. I know that was my homework for this week, is to watch AEW, but I was traveling to Colorado Springs that day.
Well, they have they pulled out one of the worst wrestling tropes of all time, which is the heels are running amok, right? By the way, you know, when the heels explain, you can't fire us, I'm pretty sure you could be fired for assault, okay? Like, if you tried to kill the president of the company, you know, I think you could be fired for that, okay?
Yeah, but, with cause, yeah, I think
you
so.
Know, but fine. Let's say that the heels are correct. They cannot be fired, right? So they're running amok. They trotted out the wrestling trope. Okay, Tony Khan now has a bodyguard. The problem is that the bodyguard is not very intimidating. Very, very talented. But not very intimidating. It's not like
who's
he's
the bodyguard?
It's not like he's trotting out the Undertaker out there, okay? Or Kane or Vader. He's trotting out Darby Allin, all 175 pounds of him.
Oh gosh, yeah. again, Darby's a wild man. He's a crazy guy. He does a lot of stuff.
But with
even
a twist
about doing.
With a twist. You ready for this?
Okay.
He's bringing a flamethrower to the ring.
Oh, I did see that. I did see pictures of that. That
so now he's threatening murder, which is always an interesting wrestling trope. I remember one time, yeah, you know Kevin Sullivan, right?
Of course, yeah.
Your thoughts on Kevin Sullivan? Great, right?
Great heel. Absolutely monster heel. Great heel.
Supposedly, he also did it right. Like, supposedly, he's actually pretty wealthy and... He retired to some island in off of South Carolina, never to be heard from again, which is the right way to
good
do it,
for
right?
him. Yes.
Okay. And supposedly he has all his marbles. You know, he's all right. You know what I mean? You know, he's walking upright. But I remember one time, you remember Magnum TA?
Oh, yeah. Wonderful baby face before his motorcycle accident.
Okay. Well, Magnum TA, he had, remember, you know, at this time... But Magnum TA was pretty big. Kevin Sullivan had like his own stable of like, you know, whack jobs, right?
And so, weirdos.
And weirdos, to put it lightly, right? So it made a lot of sense, okay? You know, you have this heel, you know, who thinks he's the devil and he has a bunch of whack jobs running around. You got to defend yourself, yeah. Right? So Magnum TA started coming to television tapings with a baseball bat. It made perfect sense, okay?
Right.
Like, you got to defend yourself, you know. You have the Missing Link running around out there. Come on. You know what I mean? You remember the Missing Link, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But a flamethrower is a bit much, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this is where I tell you that Kevin Sullivan kind of screwed up, right? Because, you know, Magnum TA is running around cutting promos with a baseball bat. Makes perfect sense because you have this heel wacko who thinks he's the devil running around with a bunch of, you know, maniacs, right? But then mm-hmm. Kevin Sullivan cuts a promo, and he's holding a Bowie knife. And I'm like, is this man threatening murder? Like, you know, like this is a bit excessive here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one thing that we talk about in the business a lot. You know, when you're in the middle of a heated program, you never want to talk about how, oh, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to bury you. First of all, you can't deliver on that promise, right? You're not actually ever going to kill someone in a wrestling match. So either you have to kill someone, which will land you in jail, or you you didn't live up to what you said you were going to do. So it's never, there's no winning in that situation. So we always say, don't threaten murder.
Yeah, today I saw the two-part series of The Dark Side of the Ring of Brian Pillman.
Yeah.
My God, I got worked so bad because I actually thought he was completely certifiably insane.
He was a little off his rocker, that's for sure.
Well, it turns out that it was all an act. Like, he was telling people, I'm doing this today. The best one was Bobby Heenan was wearing a neck brace, and he actually needed a neck brace because he had neck surgery.
Yes, right? That's the best.
Okay, and Brian Pillman actually told people backstage, I'm going to attack Bobby Heenan.
But he didn't tell Bobby Heenan.
No, and that's going to get me some heat. And I'm like, I would say you try to paralyze, you know, a national treasure like Bobby the Brain, then yeah, that's gonna get you some heat. And sure enough, that was the one time where Bobby Heenan screamed the F word on air.
Yeah.
You know,
stood up.
But yeah,
hands off me,
he also took it. He also took it to the wrong conclusion when he was waiting in Austin's house or wherever the hell he was, and he was holding a gun. Like, yeah, that's...
He was in his house, and Austin was coming to his house.
Yes, and he's holding a gun. So technically he was defending himself, but why is Steve Austin alive?
Attitude era, man. It was wild.
Yeah.
But now you got flamethrowers on TV, and he's setting people on fire, and don't try this at home, kids.
No. Yeah.
All right, Alf. Well, hell, man, this was a great episode. I'm happy I was able to get home in time. Thank you for dealing with all of my travel woes today. It was nothing but delay after delay after delay. So I know this was a couple hours later than we had planned, but I appreciate you being patient with me. And I had a lot of fun chatting with you and having our listeners in here and excited for the people to be able to catch us on the podcast feed here shortly after.
Cool. And we will do it again next week. We would do it every single Friday, so you could check us out at Discord. You could become a member of our Discord at discord.gg/OnlyFans. You could participate. We'll take questions next week. It's, you know, we started off very, very late, so we had a very sparse crowd, kind of like an AEW taping. So, so yeah, you know, we will do this again next week. And, you know, as the summer gets longer, you know, there's going to be some pay-per-views that maybe we review. You never know.
Ooh, I like it.
And we take our hand at doing some wrestling podcasts and try to mix in with the real toxic podcasters out there.
Hell yeah. I love it.
All right. That's it. We will do this again next week.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Offseason, American Alpha. Until next time, raise your fins, raise your glasses, and we'll talk to you next week.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.